Good morning. Let me greet you in the name of Jesus. It's an honor to be here today in front of you. This beautiful church you have here, beautiful. We left Oklahoma yesterday morning, it was 30 degrees, and then we got here 70 degrees. And then I thought, you fly 4 hours to Guatemala, and then you get a 90 degrees over there. It's good to be here. We have been sick. We're thankful for safe travels. We have been sick in our house for the last couple of weeks. Feeling better today. I'm thankful for that. We try to do my best and perform my voice for you to hear what God wants us to hear today. Today, I was inspired a few years ago, and one of Father's Days, Christine got me one of those plaques that you got from Hallmark, or some of those inspirational pictures that you can put in your house. And this was a collection or a paraphrase of some verses from the Bible that deal with rest. And I have been inspired to this, and I have been studying this. And I want to share with you today how much we are part of rest. The word rest in the Bible, I realized and I discovered that when we talk about salvation, when we talk about kingdom of God, when we talk about the kingdom of heaven coming down to earth, when we talk about new heavens and new earth, everything right there is related to the word rest. And you know, society today lives so unrestful. The unrest is so, it's a big problem today in our culture. And the message of salvation, per se, is founded, and we have, it's amazing how, you know, I come here for the first time, and I hear songs that I can really actually use, tell you a little bit about the sermon and then get done, because the songs kind of said it all already. I was participating on the class about financial, God and finances, as I understood. And when we're talking about there, about principles and laws, and we had that little discussion over there, and I have it here in my introduction for this sermon, the principle of rest is how I'm going to call. Salvation, when we talk about salvation, we are talking about the principle is where everything comes from. I'm going to take you today through a journey. We're going to start pretty much in the middle of the Bible with David and Psalms. We're going to go to the beginning of the Bible, and then we'll go to the end of the Bible. And I want to try to show you how rest, what kind of rest I'm talking about. Okay? Humankind is reaching high levels of stress. And I'm going to share with you some statistics here. But I was struggling and deciding about doing it because just reading the statistics is stressful to me. Okay? These statistics were done for the American Psychological Association, American Institute of Stress. Stress is such an important thing and such a famous thing that we even have an institute for that. Now, the research date was on July 2014. Okay, first, I'm going to tell you about the top causes. The top cause of stress in the United States. The first cause that people mention to be the first cause of stress, this is a survey, it is pretty much not a 100% clinical the study, but it's just a survey, and people put the job pressure as the cause number one, and the factors that could do this is the co-worker tension, you have fight with the co-workers, bosses, good ones or bad ones, anyway, there's pressure right there, or too much work. The second cause was money. And again, I was like, when I was in class this morning, I was just going through my sermon and thinking about how we get stressed over money. Money is such a thing that we have to be teach about how to use money. And when we use money right, we get into a stress because money is not enough, or if we have enough money, we don't have enough things to spend the money. And then we find things to spend the money, and then it becomes a stress. You know, and then the third house was health. People who comes into a health crisis or terminal illness are more prone to suffer stress. And this is poor nutrition. If you don't eat good, you're more likely going to suffer stress. And this is one that I was media overload. The factors on these cars are television, radio, internet, email, social networking. Sometimes I open Facebook and start reading what everybody says, and I was like, and I am like, some people say stuff that probably need to keep it to themselves, but I cannot control that, you know. But sometimes I start thinking about those people and I'm getting stressed about them. Probably they don't even know that I read what they're posting on Facebook. And news. News is, you know, we try to go to bed early because if we stay late, we start watching the news at 10 o'clock and then we don't sleep till early night. That is stressful. And then sleep deprivation. If you don't sleep pretty good, then there is problems. And now listen to these numbers. Stress statistics in the United States. The percent of people who regularly experience physical symptoms caused by stress. Somebody knows that number? Somebody wants to guess that number? In 2014, a year ago, a little bit 6 months ago, it was 77% of the population presents physical symptoms caused by stress. And people who regularly just said here and there, there's no, I'm not sure if I'm stressed or not, that number is 73%. There is people that feel tired all the time, that is 33%. And people who, this is very important, people who cite money and work as the leading cause of their stress, 76% of people. So let's put it on these numbers. 3 of every 4 people in the United States is suffering a problem of stress of any kind. Now, the impact of stress. People who say stress is a negative impact on their personal and professional life is 50%. 48% actually. Employed adults who say they have difficulty managing work and family, 31%. Percent who cite jobs interfering with their family or personal time was 35%. Percent of people who say that the stress has caused them to fight with other people, 54%. And people who reported that being alienated from the family or from a friend because of stress, 26%. Now listen to this number right here. When we're talking about money, how we're going to relate this to making an economical or financial team. Annual cost to employers in stress-related healthcare and missed work. When you miss work, you don't produce, your employer count that time as a loss. And the number is $300 billion a year. Percent of people who says they are always or often under stress at work, 30%. I hope nobody here is under those statistics. Okay? And these are some of the symptoms or signs of you experiencing stress. People experience fatigue, 51%, headache, 44%, upset stomach, 34%, muscle tension, 30%, change in appetite, 23%, and there is 3 more And then there is more the psychological symptoms, irritability or anger, 50%. That's why you understand now how much people, when you're driving on the highway or anywhere, there's so much people doing all this crazy stuff on the road, because 50% of people, if there is two on the road, there is one that is suffering problems. Okay? I hope that is not you. Okay? People feeling nervous, 40%. Lack of energy, 45%. It's amazing that I don't have these numbers, but it's pretty amazing how the market for energy drinks and energy-related products for consumer, when we are spending $300 billion in healthcare issues, that industry is going up because people is lacking energy, natural energy. And then people who is feeling as though you could cry. How many right here can accept and raise your hand and say, yeah, sometimes I feel like I can cry just for nothing? I have done it before. It's like I'm really driving in my car and I feel like I can just pull over and start crying. And then I realize, why am I thinking this? These are the numbers that I wanted to share with you. Like I said at the end, this is just stressful to think about the situation that we are. But now, this is not new for us. This is not a United States of America problem. This is not just American people problem. This is a whole humankind problem. And this problem didn't start in the beginning of technology in the 1990s. It didn't start in the World War II in the 1940s. This problem didn't start 500 years ago. This problem started at the beginning of the world. I'm going to see in a little bit, but I'm going to give you this. Just think about having the best, you know, the best job, the best house, the best program. No, you don't have to work, you don't have to pay bills, and then everything is given to you, but then all of a sudden you are kicked out of there. Okay? Then you have to be unemployed, or either you have to work hard for the air to produce. So now the earth is not producing good food, it's producing just wild stuff. Okay? Then you get your wife on it, she's crying and screaming, and her panties are augmented. You know? Now you have to work, you have to go to work, and then have to come home and take care of the wife. Well, the kids are growing. One day, one kid disappeared, and you find out that his brother killed his brother. Okay, now we're talking about stress. Stress is not a new thing. Being tired, being worried, being concerned with things is not something that happened yesterday. And that is, but today, let's stop this enough with that, okay? Because these are bad news, these are reality. Some of us probably suffering today some form of stress, okay? I hope that we are still in that 23%. All of us right here, we are in 23% that hasn't reported any cause of stress yet. But today I'm not here to bring you bad news. That I'm pretty sure you are aware of that reality, okay? If not, at least I give you a little information today. But it's not all that I want to talk about with you today. Those are the problems and the results or the consequences of sin. When I tell you the story about Adam and Eve and how they went through all these problems, when they disobeyed God, when the humans disobeyed God, all these problems became all over humankind. And we suffering now. Those are the bad news. But today I want to give you good news. No, this was not the design when creation was established by God. It's not what He had in mind. It's not what He intended to do. His design was a perfect design. And the good news today is that today we can enjoy it today, and also, like I said, this song that we just sang, they totally tell the truth. It's going to be a one day, and the word arrest is going to make total sense for us. Everything is going to be over. Everything we're going to have the opportunity to be there without worrying about bringing money or going to work or pleasing my boss at work or pleasing my wife or trying to make the kids love each other. These problems are going to be out. We're going to live in the perfect plan. But that plan that is going to come in the future was established in the beginning. It's not something that God said, oh, we messed up right here and let's try to fix something. You know, God didn't come up with this idea just 2,000 years ago. He had this in mind when he created the world since the very beginning. And David knew that. And I want to invite you to go to Psalms 92. It's actually 62. Psalm 62, in verses 1 and also verse 5. I'm going to read on the New International Version because the language on the New International Version is going to help me because I have this concordance when I used to study that is based on the International Version. That's the reason I'm using it. Truly my soul find rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. In verse 5, my soul wait not only upon God. That's in the King James Version. For my expectation is from Him. I'm going to read the same verse on the New International Version. It says, yes, my soul find rest in God. My hopes come from Him. And this guy, this man, is another one that had experienced high levels of stress. Okay? When he was a kid, he had a job that seems to be like easy job for a little kid. He has to go, and all that he needs to do is watch the sheep. Okay? Make sure they go eat and they come home and everything is safe. It sounds easy, but then the lion or the bear will come and try to take a sheep, and he will have to kill them in order to keep the sheep safe. You know? As a little kid, you go and watch your sheep, and you are always thinking that any moment the lion can appear. Yeah, that's a level of stress right there. And then God took him from there, take him to kill a giant, and then he takes the whole nation, let's say, 99% of the people of Israel were living on the high level of stress at the moment when the giant was challenging them. But yet David was the only one there that stood for the name of God, and then he went and defeated the giant. And we know the story. Now he was a king. As a king, he had to make all decisions. He committed sin. He went through all this. He saw. He had to live through one son raping his daughter. And then the other son comes and wants to kick him out of the kingdom because he wants to be the king. Now, we're talking about some stress right there. But this guy, the same guy that suffered all these things, in Psalm 62, makes a song, and the title of the song says, this song was directed to Hebetun, was a psalm of David. And the confession that he makes, and we want us to make it for us today, is truly my soul waited upon God. And I read it on the King James Version because the word waited or the word rest are coming from the same word from the Hebrew Bible. And the word of the Hebrew Bible that was used right there is the word that I'm not expert on Hebrew. I'm just going to read it as how I read them on the concordance, and as the word dumiya. And this word is a noun, you know. And what is the importance of this? This is a status of something that describes something that is waiting in silence without interrupting. It's an attitude, okay? That is like describing a servant in total submission when the master is talking about instructions to him. That is the same word that David says right there. My soul wait upon the Lord. Or my soul only rest in God. When we talk about the word rest, he's saying, I am in total submission of God. It's just being there, ready to listen, without saying something or doing something. And I read this thing that kind of bothers me. It's in Spanish, but I'm going to translate it for you. Somebody, I probably know the internet. It says, I proclaim and God obeys me. And I was like, I was studying this sermon when I read this. I said, that just don't make sense right there. Because the attitude that David is describing is, my soul just stays there quiet and silent, doing nothing, just waiting for God to do what he wants. And then what God wants to do is salvation. And this is another word I want you to consider. The word salvation here is translated from the word Yeshua. And that's why they call him Jesus, because his name means Savior. Yeshua is a noun which means salvation, deliverance, help, rescue from a dangerous circumstance or harmful state by a savior. Divine salvation usually has its focus on rescue from early enemies, occasionally referring to salvation from guilt, sin, and punishment. When David comes to a point, I cannot deal with this no more. You know, I try, I do my best, but then doing his best was not what he needs to be doing. Doing your best on solve a problem is not what we need to be doing. What we need to be doing as a children of God is submissively stand before the presence of God and let him do what he wants to do. And we want to trust that he's going to do what is best for us. And that is what is in the verse 5, that's why I picked verse 5 too, because support this idea. It says, my soul finds rest. Now, this phrase, find rest. And the Hebrew Bible, on the Hebrew text, is just one word. And now it's not a noun, it's a verb. Find rest is coming from the word daman, which is a verb. It means to be still, be silent, be quiet, rest, and to be silenced. Because God is my expectation, is my hope. It means that when I come to God, I have to keep reminding myself that I have to wait in what God is going to do. It's not something that can be done or is done just because we are humans, we're children of God, and then yes, it is. No. It's something that when we come to the presence of God and we really open our eyes and learn to contemplate that presence of God, then we realize that we are in total admiration and total awe of God, that we are without words to say, without anything to say, and then we admire God for what he does and what he is. The only thing that we can happen right there is for us hoping that God will save us from whatever we are going through. Okay, and then God is God. God is majestic. God is majestic. God is the Savior. God is the Creator. If God said a word, this is the Bible. David himself said, he put the stars on the skies and he calls them by name. Okay? He knows each one. Billions of stars, and they have a name. If I am in the presence of the God that knows the names of each one of the stars, all that I can do is to be quiet, right? Is remind myself, Herson, you're standing in the presence of God. Be quiet. It's what David is saying. And this is what I want to tell you now is, David was making a confession of faith, making a statement of how his relationship with God is. But let's, like I told you before, we remember the plan. David, Elijah, Moses, Jesus himself, when Jesus actually probably was the person, when he was the person in the world that suffered the highest level of stress. Because there is a level of stress that when you start sweating, okay? And I went to a CPR class, I kind of learned something about this, how people present different symptoms, and then you decide which level of urgency this person is presented. And that is not common. The guy who was teaching the class said that he has never seen it, but clinically there is a chance that a person can be in the highest level of stress that the blood gets too thin that it starts escaping through the skin. And the concept is that you start sweating blood. And it's what Jesus was doing. Jesus himself was in the highest level of stress. He was carrying the sin of all the humankind on his shoulders. And that's why we now are here and can enjoy this promise of rest because of what he did. He took it away from us. He took it, all the stress, weariness, fatigue, tiredness, problems, everything that can be possible and listed on the problem section, he took it away. And then when we see that person, that Jesus, that did that for us, then we're going to stay quiet and silent, waiting for him to act, because he could do that. He can do whatever I am. He can help me with whatever I'm going through, right? And this is for everybody. I think I left it somewhere. I said that I didn't want to go back to the statistics, but I will for the sake of this statement. Everyone suffers stress. I was like, no, this is just for people who goes to work. You know, work is stressful, man. People get tired. But you stay a home mom or you're a kid, you don't have any reasons to be stressed. That's my thinking. But it's not what the statistics says. 77%, the same number of adults on the teenagers presents signs of high stress. And when they were asked what are the causes for stress, is family chores and school from work is the highest the cause for stress on teenagers. And I was like, well, you know, there are people who professionally does that. I cannot say they are lying. You know, it's hard for me to believe that a teenager can have stress. But either they are lying, they're making this up, or even I believe it or not, the reality is all the symptoms and consequences of sin affect everybody. Everybody here, right here, today, that doesn't matter which age you are affected by this. Not everybody right here, in despite of how old you are, need the rest that God is offering to you today. And this is how he decided and how he defined or decided in the beginning. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. Okay, let me read in verse 1 first. Thus the heavens and earth were completed in all their vast array. Okay. And then these verses that I want you to analyze today says, verse 2 and 3, by the seventh day, God has finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Okay? We're going to go and analyze some right here. This is what happened on the seventh day. 6 days, God created everything, and then on the seventh day, he's done. He created men and women and animals, and everything that is created was created before the seventh day. Okay? The seventh day came, and there is no more stuff to do. Pay attention to this principle right there. Everything was done. It was over. And in fact, the word that has been used right there is the word Sabbath, from the Hebrew word Sabbath, which is a verb. It means to rest. And has been translated actually in King James Version is actually the same word. And then means to come to an end, to stop, to finish. And I want you to see this. God uses 6 days, and then on the seventh day, he rested. But it seems like a, how you call it when there's a contradiction, like an oxymoron in the Bible, because God needed rest, but then Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28, we're going to read it in a little bit, says that God cannot get weary and he gets no tired. And then how come he decided that he needed rest the seventh day? When we're talking about rest in our minds, in our human minds, we get so overloaded with work, therefore we need to rest. We need to quit, take a break. But right here, it's not talking about taking a break. Because there is no place in the Bible or in history that God went back on Sunday and keep creating the stuff. Well, there is no word that says that God, let's say, become Monday or Tuesday next week, and then he decides, oh, I forgot to create snakes, and that's why we have snakes today. Our snakes were created in the beginning. There is nothing. God was done. And now, one more thing I want you to consider here is, you probably have already seen this or hear this, man and woman, and Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, on the seventh day, they were in the presence of God, resting. They were finished without even starting. They were not tired too. But now, we think that we take 1 day a week to take a break from our labor, because we have to go back tomorrow, and a lot of work is waiting for us there, and then therefore we need a break. But it's not what God intended. That is totally wrong. We take the Sabbath day today because we are done. And I discovered this. I'm going to share with you, if you apply it in your life. I told my boss one day, so you know what? He said, were you done with what you were doing today? I said, yes. But then he said, what about this? I said, you know, let me tell you something. If I don't come back here on Monday for whatever reason, I am pretty sure that you can find a million people in this country that can do what I was doing. Therefore, I'm not worried about it. You know, when you use the principle that I'm trying to show you right here, is when it comes Friday night, and you think that you're really done, you have to forget everything, you don't have to think, I'm going to leave this for next week because I cannot do it no more. If you happen to come next week, it's a blessing. But if you don't come next week, if you're done with your life on a Saturday, it's a blessing. Why do I need to worry about my boss, my family, whatever I was doing in the week related to work can be done by somebody else. But we worry too much. No, I am the only one. I have to come back on Sunday. I have to rest because I have to go do this. But the principle right here, God didn't do that. God tells us that we can do it. God was done. And the principle, and the other thing right here that helps me to understand is, the very first thing that man and woman did was to spend the day in the presence of God when God was pronouncing that day to be holy. It is amazing to me for me to think that Adam and Eve, they were given instructions the day before. They were not worried about paying bills. They weren't worried about all the work. They didn't even know what was coming on Sunday to do. They were not having like, oh, we better rest because we have a lot to do more tomorrow. All that they do, what they did is spend the day in the presence of God. That's it. And this is what God wants to be done at the end. To come back to that day. To erase everything in the middle and then just go back to that day, to the first day. But this day is not going to be 24 hours. This day is going to be eternal. For forever. The glory of God, we're going to have the opportunity to observe, to admire, to enjoy the presence of God. We will have nowhere to go. We won't have anything else that keep us our mind thinking about what we need to do. Now we understand why He blessed and made this day special. He did something that He didn't do in the other 6 days. He blessed and sanctified this 7 day. Because for God was so important that He had a day to spend with what He created, man and woman. God put it to the top of His list, spend time. If God had a list, and this is just in my mind, is a craziness if you want to call it that way. If God made a list, a checkup list, He would say, first day, make this and this. And then come to the 7th day, He would put that on the top of the list and would say, spend time with humans. If God has the most and a high level of importance for this day to spend with us, why we don't have the same level of importance to make the effort to have a day to spend with God? And then God, obviously we know the story, we already talked about it. Women went crazy, killing each other, working too hard and all that, but then He decided this is not working. He chose the people of Israel and brought them out of Egypt, 400 years of slavery over there, and then 40 years on the desert. He brings them to the Canaan land and gives them rest there. Okay? And then when He does that, He gives them commandments. And one of the commandments says, remember the 7th day to keep it holy. It was not to establish the 7th day to be holier there. It was to remember the day that was already holy and make sure you keep it holy, because if you don't keep it holy, you're in troubles. And then, and remember it, because God already did it. In the 6 days, you have to do all your work. Remember that? All your work. I cannot tell you what to do in your job or whatever, but everything that you think you do, remember, you have 6 days to do all of it. If you leave something for Sunday or for Monday next week, that I cannot do anything about it, but I am trying to not think that way. I'm trying to take that out of my mind. If I come back on Sunday, it's a blessing. I start over again. Probably I will start what I left on Friday, that's for sure, but if I come and I start over, I see something new, it's actually enjoyable, you know? I start trying to do that a couple of months ago, and I come back on Monday, and I feel refreshed, I feel like, okay, let's think about it again. Let's review what we're doing, and let's go from there. Okay? And then, we find that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11, and actually in Deuteronomy, and Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 10, he goes from the writer and of the letter to the Hebrews. The Hebrews, remember, they didn't really understand and make a profit of having the Ten Commandments, and they kind of fail. And the Hebrews writer is explaining to them exactly how it works. And how it works is, and this is very important. Chapter 4, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. You read it right there, because of the time I'm going to just paraphrase it. It says that there is a rest still for the people of God. There is already mentioned, God rested on the seventh day, gave the commandments to the Israelites. They rested on the Jordan when they established as a nation. But it's not what God was intended. He says, there is still, in verse 10, from verse 8 to verse 10 is what I'm going to read. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from His. There is, when he was talking about rest, he wasn't talking about just being on the other side of the Jordan, establishing as a nation. There is another, whoever, when you finish your works, and you come into the presence of God, you are doing what he was doing at the beginning. And there is another rest, when everything right here, is going to be over. It's going to be done. And it's the day that we are looking for, right? We expecting that Jesus come back and restore this earth and that we can be done with everything that is bad. Everything that is stressful, there is no more bills to pay, there is no more work to go, there is no more worriness there is not going to be more worriness because of illness, there is not going to be more critical and terminal issues, there is not going to be anything like it is today. Everything is going to be to an end. There's not going to be new creation. There's not going to be work because everything is done. There is not going to be even going to church because everything is going to be a church. God is going to be the temple. We don't have to drive our cars to go to church there. We don't have to worry if we have money to put gas to go to church or not because we're going to be in the church. We're going to be in the presence of God. And that is what he intended. And let me tell you this. And now, another thing that helps us understand right here is Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13. If you call the Sabbath the delight, if you really enjoy it and take your feet away from doing what pleases you and do what God wants, then the Sabbath is delightful to you. And then, why is it delightful to you? Because you're keeping everything. You're making the effort to keep everything away from what interferes with you having to enjoy the presence of God. Everything, you can name it. I'm not going to give you a list because I don't think there should be a list. I think the principle is everything that interferes my relationship with God should be taken away somehow in order for me to enjoy that relationship that I have with God on the seventh day. A day that is there to celebrate, to rest, to re-energize, to refresh. Joshua talked about it when he gave the rest to these people because God promises them that they were going to be done with whatever they were doing in Egypt. And then they gave them rest. Exodus 33, 40, 14 gives these promises. And then Joshua chapter 21 and verse 44 says that God gave them rest because it's what he has promised to them. Therefore, what I'm getting from here is, if God promises us that he's going to give us rest when we come to his presence, it's because he will. He did it with the Israelites, and he's going to do it to us. And the Hebrew says, be careful, because the Israelites said, we don't want to rest. And they said, therefore, they were disobedient. They didn't have the opportunity to enter to the rest. If you are disobedient, you may get lost too. That is the only concern that we have to have. And then, another verse that I want to share is, and takes this tomorrow, I have about a few minutes to wrap this up. And David again, this is an opportunity for the whole humankind, okay? Everyone who obeys his voice and comes to him has the opportunity to enjoy rest. But let me take this more individually, really quick. Psalm 19, verse 1. That is the verse that is in the front of the bulletins if you want to go there faster. This verse is talking about when we decide to abide, to dwell under His presence. It's two parts right there. When you decide to come to God's presence and give it all to Him, the result of this is you will dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. And this word, I wanted to mention this, is the Hebrew word that is used right here to say dwelling or abide is the word lean. It's a verb also, and one of the meanings is to remain, to stay, and to dwell an indeterminate amount of time. When you come to God, when you give all to Jesus, we sing a song that says, all to Jesus I surrender all. When we do that, we are establishing a place for us under the presence of God. If we live under the presence of God, every time we need something, during the week, during every time of the year, and we know that instead of telling God and trying to fix the problem ourselves and doing this and doing that, and sometimes we go like a, we go in the prayers. This is one thing, we pray, right? We like to pray and we encourage to pray. But sometimes when we pray, we start just giving God orders, or we just talking, God, I need this, I need this, I need this, and God is just there. I can't imagine this. God is, hey, I know, and God trying to do something, and you just keep talking, and God trying to tell you what to do, and keep talking and interrupting God. And that is what Psalm says, is you should leave, like, there is this shadow covering you, where you're not going to have fears, you don't want to be afraid of anything. Everything is done because you are under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay? But there's some things happen. I want you to be aware. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 says, go and look for the old paths and find and ask and find the one you need to go. When you find it, make sure you walk in it. He said, if you do, you will find rest for your souls. But people said, we will not walk there. And then is, I mean, people resisted God because resistance to God is another consequence of sin. It's another consequence of being worry on trying to take care of our stuff ourselves. And then another promise is, now I want to take you to a promise. This is a wonderful promise. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. All those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will raise up like an eagle. And they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Who wish that? Who wants to feel like that? I feel like that because my little 4-year-old run from here to there, and I'm already tired when I get to the door. It means that I'm not waiting upon the Lord. It's a good thing to think, right? It means there is going to be a time that all these things, the stress, if you are part of the 70% of people who think are stressed, that's okay. There is good news for you. There is a time that when you wait upon the Lord, you will raise like eagles, mount up like eagles with wings. They shall walk and not faint, and run and not be weary. Why? Because verse 28, just right there in the same chapter, says, the God who is our strength, He doesn't faint and He doesn't get weary. And then, the last part, one of the last, have two more verses, Matthew 11, 28 and 29, this is what it is. I want to put in your heart today, come to me. This is Jesus speaking. We can come to the same conclusion altogether, but when we hear it from Jesus, the man who suffered till the highest levels of suffering on earth to carry my sins. And now he is coming and making an invitation to me. Harrison, come to me, all of you who are tired, all of you who are weary, because I will give you rest. And then he said, learn from me that I am humble of my heart. And then you will find rest for your souls. Again, the submission says, learn from me, I'm humble. Why was he humble? Because he says, I do everything that my father tells me to do. I listen to him. I don't interrupt him every time he wants to talk and give me orders. Learn that from me, and you will find rest for your souls. Don't be trying to tell God or interrupting God or trying to take care of yourself or whatever is going in your life. Tell God, here I am, do whatever you want to do with me, because I know that you're not going to make a mistake. That is a warranty. Whatever God makes from you, it's not going to be nothing bad. I can guarantee you that. I cannot tell you what God is going to make out of you, but it's just God who knows that. But I am sure that what God wants to make out of you, out of me, out of us together, is going to be good, because it's what God wants. He is the boss. He is the maker of us. He is the creator. He is the almighty. Therefore, we should trust him. In Revelation chapter 6, 7, verse 16 and 20 and verse 4, this is the last thing that we want to hear, that will keep us going. There will be one day, and we sang a song right here, that would be a glorious day. There will be no more tears. I always finish with this. Can you imagine? That's why I cannot emphasize that little part of the statistics that says that 25% of people who is stressed, they feel like they want to cry just because of nothing. He says, if you are like that, there's going to be one day that you may cry all you want, because there's going to be Jesus himself to wipe the tears out of your eyes. And that is amazing. And why is going to that going to happen? There's going to be no more pain. No more death. Everything, all the bad things, what happened with them? They are all done. They are on the way. There's no more suffering. There is more cry. There is no more. And this is what we're waiting for. Therefore, in chapter 21 and verse 4, pretty much is the same promise. No more tears, no more hunger, no more stress, no more people fighting to each other, no more sin, no more evil. No more Satan, because Satan is the one who causes people to sin. No more Satan. No more anything like that. All our bodies are going to be transformed and glorious. We're going to spend rest of eternity with God, in the presence of God. Worship him, enjoying that. What he has in plan for us to do in that day, I'm sure it's good. You know? It doesn't matter what it is. It's going to be good. Okay? Everything, let me finish with this. Everything has been planned from the beginning. Of course, humankind changed the course of the story, but now we have the opportunity to change that. We have the opportunity to experience what God had in mind in the first 7 days that he ever created and enjoyed with people. When we come to a Sabbath day, we are not just obeying what our church dictates me to do. We are not just obeying the commandment of God to the Israelites. We are not just doing this because we are afraid what other people in my church is going to think of me if I don't do it. We are doing three things. We are commemorating the first day that God spent with Adam and Eve in the garden. Just imagine what God talked to Adam and Eve. Just imagine what Eve or Adam asked God in that day. They had 24 hours to spend with God. What would you do in 24 hours of spending with God? And you have that opportunity to do it every 7 days. Sometimes we think, we don't have time to talk to God. Well, how come? You have 24 hours every week. That God is there just for you. Just for me. To listen to us, to talk to us, to tell us everything he wants. And then we celebrate ourselves being done with that old creature that used to sin.
Because God saved us from us. He created us as a new creature. And every Saturday we come here to present us to God and tell Him, you saved me, here I am, do whatever you want. And at the same time, we announce or proclaim the final rest to where we all will enter when Jesus, when He will be back to spend eternity with us. Everything will be done, He will have an end, and all will be at rest. And that will be a glorious day. Because no more tears, no more pain, no more anything. I want to share with you something. As I told you at the beginning, my wife gave me a picture with these verses that I read to you. There's more verses on the Bible, but we could be speaking here 3 or 4 more hours. That talks about this wonderful plan from God. But this is a compilation of verses, the verses that I read or that I paste this, and they are paraphrased in this picture. I got a bigger picture for me, but I make these pictures for each one of you today. I'm going to give it to you to remember what God has in plan for us. Those are the verses right there. It says, my soul finds rest on God alone. On the seventh day, God rested from all His work. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as He has sworn to their forefathers. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And I make copies. I hope I have enough for everybody. I'm going to be probably during the day or during the time that we have together. Just come to me and say hi. I did kind of like opportunity to come talk to you too. And that way, I can give you one. You can put it in your Bible. You can put it in the refrigerator. As a reminder that God is there offering this to us. That we can enjoy this rest today. And for to finish, probably the musicians, I don't know how you do it here, but if you're getting ready, there's the opportunity to come and start playing some music. But I want to ask this question. After you hearing this, and after you probably today realize that you are probably part of the statistics of the 70% of people who have any problems with rest, I would like to give you the opportunity to come forward or to stand up and pray for it. To give it to God and just to stand right there in front of God. And tell God, take it all because I can't. God, whatever you're going to do with this situation I'm going through, do it. I'm ready for you to get down with this. I leave you this invitation. Somebody wants to pray about it, you're welcome to do it. If not, just stand there, enjoy the music, and when you're singing, you tell God it's all about you. It's just, you do whatever you want.